Okay, we're going to talk about being content today. There's nothing new in this lesson for anybody here. I know that, but, you know, sometimes it's just nice to talk about it again. We all know that restlessness comes with discontent. The grass always seems to be greener on the other side. Or that things are going to be better when, you know, the baby's potty trained or the kids are all in school or they're all grown and I can do what I want, that kind of stuff. But this kind of discontent, if we don't keep it in check, it can also seep into our spiritual lives. And then we start failing to notice the good things around us, the blessings we have, the things that, you know, the beauty of nature and things like that. And, you know, and not only that, but not only to notice it, but to rejoice about it. So we all know that there's no situation that's perfect, but we can choose to live with things as they are with an attitude of contentment or not constantly thinking, you know, I wish this or I wish that or I wish things were different. So let's turn to Philippians 4. We're going to read this in sections today. We're not going to read it all at once. Susan Hendrick, will you read verse 11 through 13, please?
Not that I speak from want, for I have learned to be content in whatever circumstances I am. I know how to get along with humble means, and I also know how to live in prosperity. In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of being filled and going hungry, both of having abundance and suffering need. I can do all things through Him who strengthens me.
You know, the Acts and mainly is full of things that Paul endured, suffered, and went through, but he is still able to, you know, find a level of contentment in his life, you know, even when he's in prison. So let's look at verse, let's see. How did Paul learn to be content? Let's just start there. What did y'all think? Ma'am?
Six.
You're right. Okay, we hadn't read that yet. It is in the context. You're right. Actually, I put that down. I probably have this weird order here. You know, when we focus on being anxious for nothing, as it says in verse 6, in addition to talking about prayer, you know, anxiety is not necessarily the opposite of contentment, but sometimes it comes with discontentment. We allow, you know, things to make us, you know, we get anxious and worried about things, which, you know, what does Matthew 6 say about that in the Sermon on the Mount?
Don't worry.
Because look around. If God's going to take care of the birds and the flowers, you know, why wouldn't He take care of us? So, you know, and like, as you said, prayer, if we focus on prayer and thanksgiving, we can focus on what God has done and not what God has not done. And I don't mean that from the standpoint of God can't do it, but from the standpoint of He chooses not to. It's not in His plan, or it's not what, you know, it doesn't go with what's coming up next in our lives, or whatever His reasoning is. And another thing, the focusing on prayer and thanksgiving, what does that bring? Verse 7.
Peace.
You know, that could be a synonym for contentment. If we can focus on being content, and then we're going to have a lot more peace in our heart than a lot of roiling anxiety, you know, and being scared and nervous about things and anxious and not, you know, we're never going to know what's coming up next. You know, we can't tell the future. But if we trust in God and that He has us in His hand, let me find a verse I wrote down about.
Verse 5, I know the Lord is near. That's how He starts that one.
Oh, yes. That's excellent. But I see what happened. I put somewhere that here we go. Hebrews 13. The Lord will never leave or forsake us. I didn't even notice it here in verse 5. Thank you, Linda.
You know, when He was standing, He said again, He said, no one stood with me but the Lord. And so He depended on the Lord. He starts his, don't be anxious, the Lord is near.
That's correct. The Lord is near. And that's the basis for our faith, isn't it? That He is who He is, who He says He is, that he has provided for our salvation by sending his son. He loves us. His compassion for mankind and the state of mankind caused him to send his son. And, you know, he looks out for us. We know he's there. He's providing for us. So the verse 7, the peace of God which surpasses all understanding will guard your hearts. I also made a note of that, that he will guard our hearts. You know, when peace will guard our hearts, what else is going to keep our hearts in a non-stroke or heart attack causing state? You know, what if we're constantly we're anxious and worked up about things? You know, what does that do to our health?
You know, because it also says in your mind. Your mind is what gets you in trouble. You're thinking too much.
Exactly. Good point. Very good. Let's see. Yes, it brings peace. It actually guards your hearts and your minds. All right. So focusing on, I keep saying focus. I know, but it's a matter of changing your mental. What you're looking at mentally.
It's interesting, this morning we were talking to Brandon and stress came up somehow, I don't know. And he says stress is a choice. You can either choose to be stressed and worried or whatever. You know, people, stress is the new word
for it. Right.
I think I'm all stressed out. And he said he sees it in people there. There are people who know they're going to be there and don't care and they don't live their life for God, but they're at least have some kind of contentment. And he's a prime example of that. I don't care when you talk to him, when you go to see him, he's always positive. It's always, like he said, he's been up since 5 o'clock this morning, reading, studying, doing his exercise. He didn't have to go to school this morning. And he said, I just couldn't sleep in. I had too much to do. And you know, you think somebody there, and he'll, more than once, he said, I just don't have time to get everything done in a day that I want to do. And you know, you think, here he is in his circumstances. And then you see people out in the world, they sit all the time because they're stressed and they just can't get it.
Because they don't have enough time to get it all done. Yeah.
And so I just thought that was interesting.
That's very impressive.
That's in this morning, but it's a choice.
Right, it is a choice.
Me too. When I was doing a couple of my notes this morning, I thought of Brandon, and this passage was particularly, you know, in my heart this morning. And so I wrote him, you know, to hold fast, keep the faith, keep on thinking on these good things, and thank him, you know, because I use the fact that the Lord is near, you know, he's watching. And he's caring for you.
Okay.
And so, you know, it's important for us, you know, not only to take it within ourselves, but to encourage others, you know.
Right. Okay. Susan Dunbar, will you read verse 8, please?
Verse 8.
Mm-hmm.
Finally, brothers, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report. If there is any virtue, and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things.
First, I just, you know, I never read this verse without thinking about Ennis, because he used to quote this in prayers a lot. So besides focusing on prayer and thanksgiving, what are we supposed to meditate on? What do we fill our minds with?
Virtuous things.
Yes, all these things, being true and noble and just and pure and lovely, of good report, of any virtue, anything that's praiseworthy. If we can, you know, look around us for things like that instead of all the negative stuff. If we spend all our time stewing about problems, then this sure isn't going to be in our head and in our hearts.
The next verse, what these things are.
Okay.
The things you have learned and received and heard in me. Practice these things.
Right. I that's another thing I had written down under. How did Paul learn to be content? He's telling them to do the, he's talking about being content. He's telling them to do the things that they learned and received and heard of him. So that's a matter of what? How are we going to know that?
What?
By the book. In the book. You got to read the book. By the way, if we spend all our time stewing about bad stuff, when are we meditating on good stuff? It's really interesting how often people don't realize that that they've got to set time. We have to set time aside to meditate. We can't just wait for these things to seep into our heads. These things get there on purpose and into our thinking. That they're They're not accidental. Sandra.
Romans 12:2, we all know, is via the synonymous passage about transforming our minds.
Right. And this is what it takes to do that, to look at things like this. Let's see if I forgot to say anything on this question.
I think prayer is an important thing, especially Thanksgiving. You mentioned that, but people we see, and I've been guilty of it, when we're in an anxious mode or we're going through something and everything, it seems like even you can pick up your Bible, but you forget to pray, and you're so intent on praying for the immediate, you know, relief of whatever you're going through that you forget everything else. Yeah.
The Thanksgiving part?
Thanksgiving and mentioning others. Mm-hmm. I mean, you're so focused on self that you get tunnel vision.
Right. That's where humility comes in. If we are not humble enough to put others first, you know, even in our prayer lives. You're right. We can focus, not that we can't pray about ourselves or shouldn't, but if we're so focused on that, then we're not going to be paying any attention to what's going on around in other people's lives. I mean, yeah. So I think Susan Hendrick mentioned prayer a while ago. So that obviously works in any situation. Did you want to say something?
No, I just said one other thing that I put on these verses. He said he learned to be content. Contentment is not something that just happens. We have to learn to be content. And we can do that, and we can have, by practicing the things that we've been talking about. But some people just say, well, I just can't be content. I just don't know how. Well, you learn how.
Yes, you do.
And it's not easy, but if God, it's in the thing.
It takes work, doesn't it? Yes. Okay, what does he encourage his readers to replace anxiety with? Verse 13, we already read that, but I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Who's going to help us? But he didn't just leave us stuck out here on the end of a limb with no support and no help and no guidance. As Pat said, we have to learn it. We have to choose to learn it. We have to decide that that's what we're going to do. Daniel set his mind to do what God said. And not Amos. What's before Nehemiah? I am blank.
Ezra.
Ezra set his mind to know the law and to teach the law and make changes, you know, make some reforms. We can choose to be content and happy and positive and rejoice about things, or we can choose to be unhappy, miserable, downtrodden, and negative about everything. Do you know, we all know people that are that way. You know, nothing's good. Nothing's right. It's all bad. You know, it's just my life's a mess. And they're kind of Debbie Downers, aren't they? It's hard to be around people like that. And like I said earlier, when we talk about focusing on prayer and Thanksgiving, it's a change of mental focus. We have to change what we think about. We have to change what we allow to take root in our minds and to just sit there and grow. How does he recommend that they change? This is kind of circular, I know, but how does he recommend they change their thought processes? Verse 6. We've already said it.
Well, I put prayer.
Exactly, by prayer and Thanksgiving.
And he doesn't just say pray. There's different kinds of prayers. He lists supplication, Thanksgiving,
exactly.
Request. And so we say we don't know what to pray for. Well, here's things you can pray for. You're suffering. You want God to know what's on your heart. That's supplication. And Thanksgiving, of course, we all know we have so many things to be thankful for. If we concentrate in our prayers on thanking God for the things that he has given us, then it makes us ashamed, or it does me sometimes. You know, why am I so obsessed with whatever I'm obsessed with all the blessings he's given me? This trial is a way to strengthen my faith, and so I need to learn to endure with patience and not be... But I can request for God to make this a shorter time than a longer time for whatever this trial is I'm going through. The prayers to me, if you don't have prayer in your life, you're never going to be content.
Even Jesus prayed a supplication prayer. you know, there's nothing wrong with that. And as Linda mentioned, you know, the things that are on our heart and the things that we're dealing with, there's nothing wrong with praying to God about that and asking for relief. But as Pat says, if we focus more on others and their needs, and, you know, prayer, if we pray about that, what else is that going to help us to do? If we're, you know, in our prayers, we're asking for God to bless others. It's going to make us be more apt or willing or able to get out and help those people physically, you know, or emotionally, you know, whatever they need. If we can talk to them or, you know, or help them with physical things or whatever. If we spend time praying about them, that'll help us draw closer to those people if they're not even in the room. So,
I think seeing how Jesus prayed in his life should impress on us the importance for us to pray. If he, as a human on this earth, needed to talk to his Father, and yet he was God, what does that say about me if I'm not God and all the weaknesses that I have and the mistakes that I make? But it's fun chilling to me when you talk to people that are going through struggles and you talk to them about prayer and they haven't prayed at all. I talked with one person one time and they said, I'm praying here. And I said, how do you get through the day? Of course, they lost their faith and told them that the Lord, but that's what happens when we don't use that lifeline.
That's exactly right.
What these two can do, Pat mentioned the trail there about learning. When he learned to be content, and he did this prayer, and he realized the Lord was near, and he said, I can do. It gives us strength to go through, to get through, to do what we can do, you know. But God gives us the strength, you know. Along with God, we can do. Whether it's going things, or he says, I can do this, I can do all these things. He's not saying he's going to go jump high mountains, but he's talking about being content and want or need or whatever. We can go through these things with God's strength.
Exactly. All right, what do we need actually to be content? What do we literally need?
Food and clothing.
Food and clothing, that's what I put. That's what Matthew 6 says. Really, what else do we literally really need? Obviously, I guess we need other relationships with other people, but and maybe some other things. But this passage, I mean, Matthew 6, stresses the fact that God is going to provide. He's going to take care of us. The other two verses I put there are kind of... by the way, before we leave Matthew 6, there's no need for worry. I meant to say that. And what can worry change?
Nothing.
All right, so the other two verses, 1 Timothy 6. Let's turn to 1 Timothy 6, verse 8 and 9. Carol, will you read that, please?
Mm-hmm.
89.
Right. If we have food and covering, with these you shall be content. But those who want to get rich fall into temptation and a snare and many foolish and harmful desires, which plunge men into ruin and destruction.
Okay, so this verse, as well as Hebrews 13, which we'll get to in a minute, is talking about the desire for more than the basic needs, which we all in this room, everybody, we all have more than just basic food and clothing, don't we? We are all very richly blessed. When we are spending our time and our thoughts worried because other people have more than me, whether it's physical things like a bigger house or more cars or more vacations or, you know, more kids, whatever. Some people, you know, don't even have kids. So when we start comparing ourselves to what others have, then that's just the recipe for discontent. We're never going to be content because we're focused on something besides what we really need. which is just basic stuff. So we in Hebrews 13, which we looked at, talked about a minute ago, Linda brought up about God is not, is near. Hebrews 13, keep your finger here, and or here, never mind, just I'll read it. You don't have to turn to it. Hebrews 13, 5 says, let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have, for he himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. If we make that the foundation for what, for our lives and for what we're doing in our lives, then we're not going to be worried about having more of this or more of that. The fact that God is going to take care of us, according to Matthew 6, and that he is never going to leave or forsake us, you know, that's a blessing that far surpasses anything physical we could have. Let's turn over. Are we done in 1 Timothy? Any other comments on 1 Timothy before I give y'all another verse? Okay, turn over to Deuteronomy 5:21. Anybody know what's in Deuteronomy 5? Mm-hmm. All right, in verse 21, Elizabeth, do you read that, please?
You shall not covet your neighbor's wife, and you shall not desire your neighbor's house, his field or his male servant, or his female servant, his ox or his donkey, or anything that belongs to your neighbor.
What law? What is this law targeting?
Possessions.
Possessions, but what sin?
Covetousness.
But what's a synonym for that we've been talking about?
Greed.
I think it's a synonym for discontent. I think this is laying the foundation for being content with what we have. You know, in the very beginning, when God first, you know, gave them the law, don't be looking at what they've got. You got plenty. You know, because that's only going to make people. When people start coveting, what do they do? They start taking other men's wives. They start trying to get their either that, if they don't necessarily take something of their friends or their neighbors, what could they be doing to try to keep up with the neighbor?
Working harder,
spending all their time working, no time with family, no time worshiping or putting God first, you know, that kind of thing. This is the foundation for a whole lot of sins right here.
Hebrews 13:6, it costs it far for love of money. So it comes down to
absolutely
contentment versus love of money, or, you know, discontentment,
right,
and wanting more.
Right.
You have a perfect example in the scriptures of someone who wanted something so badly. Ahab wanted Naboth's vineyard. And we see what he did. He went to his bed and turned over and looked at the wall. He was so worried about things and he
was king of Israel,
but he could not be content with anything if he couldn't have everything that he thought he wanted. So we don't want to become
Ahab. Life just doesn't work that way, does it? Do we ever get everything we want? It isn't going to
happen.
It's just not going to happen.
What we wish for.
Yeah. All right. That's all. Did you want to say something?
No, I was just thinking in 2 Timothy, the first part of that, godliness, you know, brings about contentment. So
ooh,
I should have
got that.
If we are not godly, we're not going to be content. We can't be content without being godly.
That's because being godly leads us to engage in prayer and thanksgiving, which is what we need to do to keep our minds off this other stuff that's really not even necessary. What verse is that, Pat?
6:6.
Ooh, that's so good. Yes, it is.
And that phrase of godliness is those things that we just talked about in Philippians. Those things, you know, that are true and honest. They know these things. It's what they were taught.
So right.
Reverence for God.
Yeah.
It's the same list.
Right. Okay, how can we keep gratitude fresh in our hearts? I mean, you know, life, we get busy with life. Even if we pray frequently, maybe gratitude gets stale sometimes. But how can we work to keep that the top of our focus?
If we remember every day that everything we possess, including our own body, is from God. You know,
how are we going to remember that? What can we do to help us remember
reading,
that?
Reading, studying,
praying,
all the things that we've talked about.
Okay, the first thing I put on my list is to make a list, read it every day, and add to it as needed. And the very second thing I put is thank God in prayer for the things on that list. If we are not grateful and thankful for the blessings we have, we're not going anywhere with this. We can't get to contentment. We can't get to a lot of things if we're not thankful and have a gratitude in our hearts. How can we be aware that God is working in our lives? How can we be conscious of that? What can we do? What do we have to do? We have to read His Word, but we have to be observant. We have to look for it. We have to be, it has to be a priority for us to be aware of it when it shows up. You know, some people just whizzes by them and they don't even notice.
Well, the thing too, and I think they'll say this, we pray for something, then we'll get when it happens, you know, somebody will get well or better. When it happens, how many times do we go back? We might one time thank God for whatever, you know, whatever it was, but we prayed for it time over time and time again. But then after it's all done, we don't continue to thank God for that and remember to help remind ourselves of the things that He has done for us.
Right.
Sometimes we forget to thank Him
all together
for what we
do. Right. That's very easy to do. Especially if it's a long, drawn-out thing before we get an answer to that prayer.
I love what you said about being aware. Sometimes these little bitty joys, this little bitty thing can just pop up in a really bad day. And it would be wonderful if we could catch that, you know, and praise God for that instead of focusing on the bad thing of the day, you know,
right,
how you feel or whatever, you know. Because sometimes God gives us those little sunshine. Those little,
exactly, just little
whether
peaks.
It's a person in the store, or, you know, or a friendly hello, anything, you know. It we need to be aware of everything and thank God for it all. Or even thank God for getting through the day, even if you're in pain, you know, just be aware of the goodness of getting through the day, waking up in the morning.
That's right. And that's one of the things I wrote down, Linda, is exactly that. Cultivate a feeling of awe for every blessing from God. You know, acknowledge its source, even those little bitty things. You know, obviously the big things, if we're missing those, there's a real problem there. But, you know, sometimes we have to really search to find the little things and or be hyper aware. You know, we have to be on our toes. And, you know, if we're all mired up in discontent and worry and anxiety and stress, then we're sure not going to see that.
I went out and took pictures of Miss Spirea this morning. You know, everything in the front bed looks terrible. You know, but those Spirea are,
you know, well,
blooming like everything.
We saw a big bush in Belton this weekend, and Val asked somebody what it was. I have never seen one, but she has one in her neighborhood that I guess I've just not ever driven by it when it was in bloom. It was called a Texas Mountain Laurel. It was absolutely gorgeous. It had these big clusters of purple flowers on it, real green and glossy. Have y'all ever seen one? Do you even know what that is? I've never even heard of it. But I got so excited about it because I thought it was so, so pretty. And, you know, if Val hadn't noticed that, I don't think I would have. But sometimes something like that, you know, this time of year, especially when things are blooming and gorgeous, like Linda said, if we're focused on our gratitude for what we have, it's really hard to be worried about what others have or to be thinking about, wow, I wish I had that, or one day I'm going to get where they are, that kind of thing. We just need to be grateful for what we've got.
Lori,
ma'am.
Sometimes, especially when I see an advertisement on TV, like children that are peaceful worms and things like this, I want to tell my grandchildren to just start from your head to your toe and thank God for everything that's working right. You know, you have eyes that see, you have legs that walk, you have a mouth that can talk, ears that can hear. You know, your body's in good health. And we just, you know.
I think that every time I see my cousin's little baby that's 2.5 years old and weighs 15 pounds. And, right, you know, she's just now getting teeth. She's had several brain surgeries to get fluid off her brain. And she's funny looking because she's so misformed. Her legs and arms are too short. She's, you know, always going to be short. I don't know how long, if she has a life expectancy or not. But, you know, if people could see, you're right, more of that, it ought to make us really be so grateful. Children, that's a good lesson for children. And I think that's why it's a good thing that they mainstream so many kids into school systems. You know, that I think it helps children be aware that everybody is not as lucky as they are and as blessed as they are.
Yeah.
others could help them have compassion and want to help.
Absolutely.
Them. So many times that's not how it works. They just bully them and make fun of
that's
them.
That's right. Absolutely.
That's the shame of the thing.
And they get it from their parents.
Yes, they do. Kind of like their prejudices, racial prejudices and things like that.
Sometimes when I'm in the grocery store and I'm having a bad day and maybe I'm a little aggravated that I'm not up to what I want to do, and then I see somebody that's in a scooter that can barely make the scooter work, their health is a lot worse than mine, you know, you think, that could be me. So maybe I better count my blessings instead of complaining about what I'm doing.
You know, and a lot of us at the age that we're getting, you know, some of the things that are going on with our bodies, you know, and when you look around and see the shape some people are in, you know, that's another thing to be really, really grateful for, because all of us are walking.
A lot of times the people are younger.
Yeah.
Than what I know I am. And I don't know what they've done with their body.
Look at Tony. Yeah. I mean, she's had so many health problems her whole life. Somebody like Margaret, who's had all those surgeries on her back. I mean, she's doing great now, but she's done a lot of suffering.
Well, but she knows more suffering is coming. This is such a degenerative thing.
It's just going to keep going on.
Go up.
Yep. It's going to go up her back.
That's what I
didn't realize that.
Yeah.
Wow.
Because the last surgery, she was glad that it lasted 5 years. They didn't know that it would be that long before you had to have another one. So.
My goodness. So
we can help her to see where she can be content.
Yes, we do. I mean, she is walking upright, not even carrying around her cane right now. I mean,
but she cannot bend.
Oh, she can't.
No, house cleaning for her, a lot of things she just simply cannot do. So, you know, that's, I think often how I would manage all of that. I have, of course, I think Alex helps her some.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, it's hard to tell yourself, I can't do this. Because I know there have been times I'll talk
I have a stepmom like that.
And
she still moves furniture to vacuum. And she hurts all day long. You will never hear her say a word about it. I don't think she has time. My dad's talking about it too much.
She's an inspiration. She really is.
She is.
You can tell the way she walks that she has to be in pain.
She uses a walker around the facility, but she says it's so much trouble to put it in the car that she just doesn't like to. Okay, what are some things we can do to stay humble by being content? So, I mean, now we're going to switch to, okay, we're already content. How can that keep us humble? This is going to be a lot of crossover from previous lessons. Okay, first of all, let's start with James 1. What's it say there? Why do we have trial and tribulation?
To build their faith?
Yes, to make us stronger, to make us have a deeper faith, to bring growth and maturity, and at the same time, consider that a blessing, you know, when we have trials and tribulations, you know, when we lose a spouse or when we have, you know, a child or a grandchild, you know, things happen. How about if we focus during worship? Sometimes it's easy to just, you know, sit there, go through the motions, because how many years have we been doing this? Most everybody here, I believe, no, Elizabeth didn't grow up in the church. But, you know, think about how many years we've been doing this. So how easy is it to forget why we're here and not think about, you know, the suffering Jesus endured, you know, during the Lord's Supper, or the fact that I am an heir of God. How lucky am I to be in Christ, to be one of the chosen, or I should say that, one of the elect, you know, a member of this group of people that God has created to not only worship Him, but for Him to bless. The gift of the Word, you know, do we ever think about while we're worshiping, you know, flipping from verse to verse, you know, when the preacher's saying this or that, about what a blessing it is to have this? To know how God wants us to live, to know how He feels about things, you know, like from the Old Testament, how He felt about children being disrespectful to parents, or about people who sinned, although they had a heart like God's, you know, people who could be forgiven, people who could turn their lives around. What about our songs? You know, for things, say we're singing Count Your Many Blessings, what are we thinking about?
hopefully.
Hopefully the words we're singing. And that's hard too. How many times have we sung that song in our lives? You know, I don't even need to look at the book. It's very easy to let our minds wander off and not be, you know, tuned into what we're doing. Okay, let's just move away from that to learning to get away from why should I deserve something that, you know, other people have that maybe I haven't been blessed with? You know, we need to remove any thought of I deserve it. What in the world makes anybody think they deserve something?
Pride,
exactly. We are never going to have any humility in our hearts if we have a thought, you know, if we are thinking along that line. And, you know, why shouldn't, and then, you know, take it down to everyday life, why shouldn't I be inconvenienced? Or why shouldn't I be the last in the line? Or why shouldn't I walk in to give blood and there's 100 people in here? You know, why should I lack anything I want? Why am I the last one to get picked for the baseball team? You know, that kind of stuff. We are no better than anybody else. We need to come to terms with the fact that everything's not perfect, you know. There's a lot of people in this world, and just narrow it down to this church or my family. You know, my brother lost his wife recently, and I was just, you know, I spent a lot of time thinking about it, and still do, about, you know, the fact that she was the first one to go of my siblings and our, you know, spouses. That has a really big impact on, you know, why her and not me, or why her and not, you know, my sister or my brother.
These are some things we need to be. We all have grandchildren, and this is our people that were close to their kids. These are things, instead of playing games and always having fun, we need to spend some time talking to our grandchildren and even our grown children about some of these things, instead of always the conversations. You know, when we get together, our family, we don't get together very often, and so everybody's talking about what's going on and what's happening and all that. And the last couple of times we've been home, I thought, we need to take some time together as a family to sit down and talk about God's Word somehow. And when they were younger and they would all stay with us, we would pray together at night before we would go to bed. And I thought, why can't we just do that with whatever ones who are staying with us? We need to let them see how important, even at our age, these things are to us.
That's right. Did anybody else put something on under this question?
My number one was considering Jesus. I went to Philippians 2 and consider Jesus, you know, and how he humbled himself to be a servant. And, you know, he had everything heaven could offer, and he was God, but he emptied himself. And so, consider Jesus. And then, right after that, is we're to think of others. Do something for others, you know. So get out of yourself and do for others.
Right.
And so it's, you know, it's just...
I remember I spent a lot of time talking to a sister in Christ several years ago that was struggling with depression and some other problems, and I remember telling her, I said, if you need to get out and see what other people need, see if you can help somebody else. I don't know if she ever did it or not. I think that's one thing that's always helped me, you know, when I get down about something. It may take a while. You know, it took me a few years to get past a major event in my life, but if we can get back on that track, you know, put other people first, and that's going to make a big difference in our lives. That's the whole idea. We're here to serve. That's why we're here.
I also went to Philippians 3:21 and was talking about our humble estate transformed to the body of his glory when Christ returns to call us home. You know, we're going to leave this body one day. Just think,
yeah,
you know,
we're not here forever.
If we keep our priorities right and if we trust in him, it's going to be okay. It's going to be better than okay.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. Any other comments?
Praise to God. We're so unworthy.
We are so unworthy. We don't deserve a thing. We really should be so, so grateful to God for blessing us so much. Anybody else? Okay, is there anybody we need to mention? Thank you all for being here, by the way, and for your really good input and